Okay, guest of honor, I will let you introduce yourself first.
Hi, my full name is Jeanette Nalani Ka'awamo. My pet name is Sweetheart, and I'm from Wailuanui, part of Ke'anai, on the east side. And I was born on September 7, 1949, to Cecilia Nishioka and Solomon Ka'awamo. So I've got three quarters Hawaiian and quarter Japanese.
Oh, I never know that.
Yes.
My name is Lopaka White, born Honolulu, but grew up Maui. Son of Isabel Perez, now Isabel White, and Lauren Nash White. So since you told me about your genealogy, my father is Scotch-Irish-Swedish, and my mother is Filipino-Portuguese.
Hi.
And on my mother's side, I am, I think, fourth generation, born in Hawaii. And so I would be on my father's side, first generation, born in Hawaii. So a little bit background and context.
Yes, you know, I have no idea on what generation I am, but I know I come from 12 children, same mama and same daddy. I'm number 11th child. And my mama and daddy also adopted my two nephews, so legally, they are my brothers, and so we have a total of 14.
Wow.
And she raised them from baby.
Oh, incredible.
Yes.
Since we're on the subject of names, one of the questions I have here on the paper is, can you explain to me the story behind your name? And before I let you go on that, I know the name Ka'awamo is like connected to the Ke'anai area. So when I heard that, I was like, oh yeah, that's deep. But not only your given name, but also Sweetheart, you know, the story behind that.
Yeah, you know, we never asked questions before. So of course, I don't know how I got Sweetheart, because I have a sister named Honey and a brother named Darling. so you know, they give us these names, and I don't know why. And so, but my English name, I don't know how she got Jeanette. But I also know that my sister, who had children, who's an older sister, and her daughter's names are like Paulette, Renette, you know, all the S. So something must have come up. So in school, everybody knows me as Jeanette, but at home, everyone knows me as Sweetheart.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Can you explain to me what, at least to you, what the name Ka'awamo, the meaning behind that?
Oh.
If you, yeah.
No, I don't know. I know I knew all my father's brothers and sisters, and we all lived in Wailuanui. Uncles on both sides of me, of us. Uncle down below, auntie down below, another auntie. I mean, those were all his brothers and two sisters.
Yeah.
And so only one lived in Ke'anai, in the heart of Ke'anai, the entrance.
Okay.
It's because he married a woman that was from that area, so he lived there. They're a little bit different from the Wailuanui. Huh. So Wailuanui is, You know, it's a really sacred place. You don't see tourists there. I think the generation now has pretty much discouraged the tourists from coming around, because when I drive back home and I'm coming down the hill, I just feel that sense of peace. Mm. I can feel all my ohana around me.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You know, even as a resident here on Maui, you know, like, even I know, not being from there, it's like, you know, just show up, you know?
You don't.
You gotta know somebody, you have to ask for permission or even have a reason, right? You cannot just go maho'e and...
Yeah, absolutely. So you need to, in fact, we have a muliwai down there, and it's for residents only. And they bring in families, then it's okay because you're there with them. And it's quiet. It's where the stream meets the ocean. So we were raised playing there. And I remember, you know, when we were little, I mean, I could just, you know, I didn't know how to swim, but in those days, they just threw you in the pond. You either swim or you're going to drown. So that's how we did it. And then it seemed so far to swim across. But now, if I dive, I'll hit my head right there. Mm. I mean, that's how small we were before. And I can't imagine how little we were, and our parents allowed us to go there only on Sundays. You get to play. Otherwise, we were in the taro farm. Grew up there. I grew up in the taro farm. We walked to the taro patch barefooted. Go up there, we lawnmower, we cut grass. We didn't have weed whackers or anything. We pull taro. So we helped to harvest. We clean the taro patch, pull the weeds. So now everybody's gone in my family. So there's like only about three of us left, the younger ones. So, but my father worked. He was a pure Hawaiian, strong, didn't have many words, but his actions, his hard work. My mom too, she grew all the vegetables there. We had guava, we had papaya, banana, sugar cane, lettuce, string beans, you know, sweet potatoes, all there in our yard and at the taro patch. So you don't go home to eat. She bring up the canned goods. Open up the canned goods, and we have our vegetables there. And we eat right there at the taro patch. So it allowed me, my upbringing allowed me to become very independent and knew how to work. In and out of the house. Inside the house, clean house. The boys didn't clean house, but the girls did. And we also went outside and worked in the yard. The yards were always clean. Maha'ai, yeah, every time. The taro patches were all clean. And so I'm so happy that I was raised being there and at the taro patch, because I know how it is. It's a hard work, but it didn't seem hard when I was a kid. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was just a way of life. Wow. And then you get to go and play a little bit. Yeah.
When you go back nowadays, do you notice differences in the amount of water that is flowing into the ocean, or, you know, what's your take on that?
Oh, definitely. Wow. That's the first thing I notice. We do not have enough water. Throughout the whole, just driving from outside to driving into Kenai, I already can see the river doesn't come down, you know, all the different rivers. And especially in Kenai, it's hard because you need water. And we had a lot of water. Of course, we help maintain the place because, you know, we have hao bush. So we had to go in there, cut all the hao, you know, make sure it didn't cover everything, mm-hmm. and trim all the side of the bank, even though it wasn't our place, but that water came mm-hmm. to us. Mm-hmm. So we had to help clean. So all the ditches that provided for the taro patches. And we had many taro patches, many. And I cannot imagine how we did it, because my father had a real job. He had a state county job. My mom was, you know, she went and, you know, she was a great, great woman, my mom. She helped raise all her kids. She's the one who did it all, taught us everything. But she also was a hard worker. She made side money by go get opihi, sell opihi, limu, you know, so different kind limu. And she would go get hao and make skirts. Yeah, for the tourists, whoever like buy, I think, yeah. So she made money out of doing all those things. So she would get, we would help her go get the lauhala from wherever she wanted to go get them, and we helped to clean it and take off all the pokey and roll it and help her. She gets certain kind, like a knife or something that you make strips out of, yeah. And so to make either a mat, or she would make things to decorate on the wall, and banana that was black.
The fruit?
No, the banana leaf or the bark or something she got. And they would be black, and she used that as trimming.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and lauhala, and even bamboo, she would make white.
No way.
So she was awesome. I did not, at that time, I just didn't think anything about it. But as I grew up, and I saw what my mom did, and I'm going, wow, what a woman. How did she know how to do this? So she did her share of bringing in money by doing things like that. And she helped feed us also, because we ate from the ocean, we ate from the aina, we were brought up that way. Wow. We didn't have too much money to go and, you know, once a month we would come out. She never drove. One of my older siblings would drive us out, and she would go shopping at Ooka Supermarket. You know Ooka Supermarket, yeah? So we shop there. Then we go down to Pa'ia. Then before go home, go eat Saimin over there. And she gets certain places where she go buy meat from Souza's market. And then, you know, so, and Pa'ia Mercantile, she pick up certain things from there, you know. And then go home. And, yeah.
You brought back some memories when you mentioned Oaka Market, because when I was a small boy, it was still there. We used to live Happy Valley. And so my, you know, we'd go there every weekend, right?
Yeah.
So I'd go with my grandma. My grandma and my mom, but my grandma was kind of like the unofficial mayor. She knew everybody. So she would always start off in the meat department, you know, the first aisle, right?
Yeah.
When you walk in the store on the far left
at
the meat department, right? And you know, she couldn't take 10 steps without running into somebody she know, and voila, I'll talk story.
Mm-hmm.
And me as a kid, you know, I kind of like, I kind of
So
like, we'd get to the point, it was like, oh, grandma, we've been in this aisle for 20 minutes already. I already went poke all the eyes and slap all the cow tongues and touch everything. And you're still talking to this uncle. We still don't have it all the aisles still yet. But when you mention that, that's that
yes,
the first memory I get of that place.
That Ooka was sad to see it go.
Yeah.
It was real sad. And you know, all those places in Pa'ia.
Oh, plenty, yeah.
They're all not there.
I know, so different
they're
now.
All not there. Yeah. Oh, the crack seed. Crack seed from inside that Chinese place that we used to go eat the sangin.
All in the glass jars.
Yeah, the big ones.
Yeah, so you malt water, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh my goodness, yeah, so. That's the kind of stuff, you know, we had to, and also had Cresto, yeah, down here.
I don't remember that
one. You don't remember
no,
Cresto?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, Cresto and National Dollar Store.
I remember National Dollar.
Yeah, right over there. That's where we could afford, yeah. I used to like the popcorn, you know, because the popcorn over there, they had them in the machine, and so, you know, get or different kind of colors, yeah?
Yeah.
And sweet, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The treat, yeah?
Yeah. And, you know, Wailuku had its own, was another place that was the old style.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no longer here. Wailuku, Kahului, you know, the shopping, Skalui Shopping Center, get all the markets over there, Nora Market.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, yeah. That's, yeah, when you mention all the names of those stores, you make me think of my grandma, because she was, you know, holo holo.
Your grandma,
every
course, and everybody knew each other.
Yeah,
You know, it's was a very good life, and you know, we didn't socialize too much because you're not there to play.
Yeah.
You only play on Sundays after you go to church. And then, you know, over there in Wailuanui, we had the priest with the church, the Catholic church. And then we were, you know, you gotta go sing in the choir and everything, and you know, we solidarity grows, and we all small though, you know, but we had to sing, and was upstairs. Then there was a hall, had movies, movie theater.
Yeah.
Yep, had movie theater. It's still there.
Really?
That it's falling apart, but it's still there. My uncle ran the projector. The girls who sing gotta go sell candy and ice cream. And there were benches, hard benches. Mm-hmm. And small kids would go lie down on top of the stage and look the movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we had, and was, I think, 5 cents, I think, was for go movie. Yeah. And you know, when we went home too, because we were from Wailua, pass the church, you get a little bit extra, five cents or something. Go there, knock by the priest's door. Father, I like buy candy. He let you come in and buy candy from inside the box that you sell. Yeah, from at the movies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we had one little store over there for us if we had money.
Oh, that must have been like, you know, the
that
ultimate.
Was cool. Yeah. Of course, you know, and we don't tell our parents we spend our money or what.
You know, since we're on the subject of Wailua, Wailua Nui and Ke Anae, I gotta ask, because you grew up there, I know, you know, from my understanding, nobody was really allowed to go up the river, up to the, you know, the waterfalls and all that. That was kind of like sacred space, kapu, like nobody should really go there. Was that the case then, or?
Oh, absolutely. We didn't go look around any kind of place.
Even though you was from there and you lived
there? Yes, yeah? We never did do that. You stay in your own place, you know, maha oe, go into anybody's property and go look all over the place.
Yeah.
It's work, home, down the Muliwai, and go to church, and we used to walk to school too, you know, Kenai school, from Wailua Nui. We never have car, so us small kids with the kini'ai, going double decker underneath the poi and on top is the main dish, whatever it is, maybe sardine or something and walk to school and all the way to school, then walk all the way home and change your clothes, then walk up to the taro patch. And that's how we were.
The reason I ask is, you know, you from there, you of that place. And in this day and age, it seems like less and less is sacred anymore.
That's true. I can see with my own eyes what I see is that people are just maha oe, go look any kind. And I don't know if there's people who actually own the property, but there's lots of houses coming up here, there, everywhere, not in Wailua, but on the way going to Ke Anae. But it's different, and the generation is different now too. So, you know, I have, we still have our family property there. My father gave that to my brother, and my brother passed away. He gave that to his mo'opuna. But with now how it is, they don't have that lifestyle to live there. They have other jobs that they need to be at, which is out here, to live out here and try to go home and make ends meet. So they're not able to take care of the taro patches like before. But I have a sister. She still lives the old ways. Even though that one is honey. She get house in Pukalani, but she don't like live over there. She live at the taro patch. Get one little hale over there for she sleep, and one little open kitchen with bushes all around. That's where she stay. And everybody go up to her place, talk story, they drink beer, make poo-poo, talk story,
Sounds charming, but I know it's hard work.
It is.
It's not an easy life.
It's a hard work, really hard work. I know that I would not be able to do that anymore like before. You know, you need your family to all participate and know what they're doing. But so I, like I said to them, well, you folks have the machineries to make things easier for you folks, but they don't have enough time to do all that. So it seems to be dwindling.
Yeah.
You know, Kianai, down lower Kianai as we call it, I have plenty ohana down that side too. And they're trying their best to keep the place going, but I can see the changes.
Yeah.
That I don't know what's going to happen when the next generation come. It will be even harder.
Yeah. Wow. So kind of like shifting gears a little bit, getting some of that backstory from you, and it's very obvious where your work ethic comes from. And so I have to ask, because this is how I know you and how I met you. That work ethic definitely went into your paddling ethic. Because I know you know, from paddling, right? From Hawaiian Canoe Club.
Yes.
So I guess I would love to ask, or I'm curious, like, when did you get into it, and how did that all start for you?
Oh, it was my son, my oldest son. He was just a child. And his cousin decided, the cousin wanted to paddle. So he said, come, we go paddle. So he went with them. And then I shame, because now they gotta bring him home and Dilip Kalani and hard time. So I said, I have to go down there and make sure pick up my boy from there. And that's how it started. Because that year I went down there, Hawaiian Canoe Club was just a little speck in the way corner where you get Young's brothers right now.
Mm-hmm.
They were there, and they would rent them out, I guess, more bigger property, and across from there was Chart House that time.
I remember,
So that year, because I was there just to help out, and then, because we the parents, so okay, we help clean up the property, and then I had to laugh because I was cleaning up the property, and now I went to Bowen High School because no more school, in Kiernai.
Yeah.
No more bus, no more nothing.
Never have high school over there.
Never have high school, so I told my mother, now I'm number 11 child. And I'm going, okay, now, wonder what she gonna do with me. So I said, Mom, you know that I have to go high school. And she didn't say a thing. I said, I wanna go any school, but I don't wanna go Hana. I said, there's no bus anywhere. We had to walk to school, so there's no bus to go anywhere. I think she was just gonna leave me home if I didn't say anything. Because my older brother never went to high school.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. He never said nothing, so she kept him home. Then I'm going, I think this is illegal, for them not to send us to school. But of course, my mother is old enough to be my grandmother. Because my two older sisters, the oldest sisters, were old enough to be my mothers.
Wow.
My nephew and I, same age. Yes.
Wow.
So anyway, I told him, Mom, I want to go school. I want to go St. Anthony. Or I want to go Seabury. I was searching, on my own. And I wanted to go to the best schools. Of course, they cannot afford, So anyway, I went to Baldwin High School and stayed with family.
Oh.
And so, and from there on, that's how I learned, from what I learned at home, hard work, determination to be better. And to today, my friend, after I had to move out from my cousin's house because she was having kids, so no more enough room, and two of us was living in there. Her sister-in-law and I were there with hers, with my cousin's wife. So I had to leave because they said, oh, we don't have enough room because now we get more kids. So I said, my mom was going to send me to Honolulu, go stay with my brother. And my best friend that time, she said, she lived in the boonies, down in the middle of the cane field, going down to Waiehu.
Oh.
Waiehu side.
Oh, no.
Yeah, right above Happy Valley.
Yeah.
You go through Happy Valley, come up the road. On the left side, there's all cane field over there.
Oh, wow.
And that road could go in and then get the house inside there. Wow. So she said, I'm going to ask my mother to come for you to live with us. Mm. She said, I don't want you to go because we were best friends.
Yeah.
So I lived with them for 2 years. Huh. Yeah. Continue Bowen High School. Graduate everything, and from then on, I just went full forward. Made myself go to school. You know, I was real young when I got married, but I did that, and then so getting back to my boy, I had my son, and so he was there at Hawaiian Canoe Club, though. So I was picking him up, and we cleaned up that place and brought my brother-in-law was working for Maui Electric. He and a friend, they brought all the poles, we built the holly. And so we had all volunteers, but when I look at the rubbish that I was cleaning up and I'm going, I wonder if I was a naughty girl and maybe as one of my bottle beers over here. No, when I was teenagers. So I was laughing to myself. I'm like, maybe not. You know. But yeah, so that's how I started, because then Diane Ho, who is still our head coach, and she's retiring anyway.
Really?
Yeah, she retired as an attorney.
Wow.
Yeah, she was already an attorney at that time.
Oh.
Yes. So when I became 35 years old, they went and started a new division, 35 plus.
Masters.
I was the youngest one that time. They had to wait for one more to come up. So as we got older, we went from one division to the next division to the next division. And now I'm in the 70th division.
Yeah. But last season, I see you paddling with the 50s and the 55s,
oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you must be pretty top shape 70s if the 55s is like, hey, come jump in.
Oh, yeah, because I insisted on practicing with them because my heart is in it,
yeah.
And I don't want to look at age. For me, age is not a thing for me. I don't care what it is. So I do my best to stay strong and paddle with younger if they want me. But you know, they look at numbers, yeah. If they don't know you. Yeah. If they don't know you, then they look at numbers.
I have to go on the record and say this. Watching you over the years, you are a huge inspiration to me in my paddling endeavors. And especially the last several years, because I noticed I see you early in the morning, you know, all the uncles showing up. You kind of like the only auntie on your OC1 going against the wind around the harbor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
and steady. And I tell, oh, I like be like that when I grow up. Serious. And so, you know, thank you
for being
that inspiration.
You know, it's for me, I love the ocean. You know, my mother loved the ocean too, but it was for food stuff. I like to be in it. And I wanna look at the waters, and I talk to them. You know, nature. I look up in Mauna Kaha Lawai, mahalo. Haleakala, mahalo. So my spirit is there. And I cannot stop.
Yeah. It's hard, yeah.
It's just that it's very spiritual for me to be here. So I don't do it just to do it. I do it because it's like going to church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more than a sport.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And I know that you feel the same way about you.
Yeah.
When I see you paddle, and this man, I watched him paddle. I was on a six-man doing water changes. No, we did two-man, I think, with Kawani. And you went around on your one-man, nonstop around Kaho'olawe.
Yeah.
I'm going, oh my gosh. Look at him. So I totally admire you.
Thank you.
For what you do, and you're very humble person, this man. I know him from small kid.
It's I learned from watching you and the others, you know, the other the aunties and the uncles, and that's how I learned it. So
yeah,
it's the apple doesn't fall far from the tree in that sense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good example you set.
And you know, when you love something so dearly, it becomes part of your world.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not work. It's enjoyment out there. I mean, the ocean can be rough, windy, everything, whatever. It's like, you appreciate all that. No matter what it throws at you, it's okay.
Yeah, you can appreciate the gale, and you can appreciate the calm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. You know this. So, I think from even before I asked you to come and sit down and do this vala'al, I was already thinking about something that I wanted to ask you, because I'm going back to you being such an inspiration and just you being the inspiration and the person that you are, the positive and everything about you. If there is something that you could say to, you know, perhaps your ancestors, your great-grandchildren, or your great-great, you know, you haven't met them, you might not get to, if there's something that you could, you know, say to them or leave to them, what would that be, you know, your outlook on life, or what's your secret?
You know, I look at my ohana, and they're not like how I wish they would be. I don't know if it's a generation or what, but it's just something that I feel inside and try to teach, but I can't make them do what I would want them to do, is to enjoy the ocean, get out there, do all this. You know, there's so much beauty in in everything we have here, but I know that they're like that.
On the phone.
Yeah. That's what the problem is. When that came, that's why I don't always have it with me. It's not important to me. If it's there, fine. And sometimes it doesn't ring, so I don't know. But that's what I see in my ohana, that even the children, they're so busy. I don't know why they're busy. I don't have no idea. Different kind busy,
yeah.
But don't have time to enjoy what God gave us, has given us.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta enjoy this. I mean, you look at the trees, you look at the water, you look at the mountain, you look at, I don't know, but I feel at peace all the time for me. Because no matter where I go, and I love to talk story to people. I just talk to strangers like I know who they are. I will make comments and next thing you know, we're friends and stuff. Like, I just love people. Yeah. So I can feel when someone's having an issue. Hmm. And so, you know, you gotta pull back, see what's going on, you know, and everybody's different, but yeah, I'm very happy that we get to talk. I think everyone in my club, they were all little. And now some of them are grandparents.
Wow.
I mean, that's how long. I've never joined any other club. I've been there since I was before 35, but I paddled since I was 35. Wow. There. Never okay. Stopped.
Wow.
And next year, I'm gonna do a time trials. Next year, I will be 75. So I'm going to do time trials with Island Masters in 70s and 75. We don't have enough of old ladies in Hawaiian Canoe Club that can paddle. So I think we're going to hook up with Kihei.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I still love that. I'm still traveling. I want to go everywhere. In August, I went to Samoa to do world distance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we came in second place in the world.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, with Island Masters.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, I still want to travel.
So, what I take away is the secret is keep paddling, work hard, don't get sucked into your phone too much.
Yes.
In a nutshell.
And love your aina. Appreciate your aina. Every little bit of it. The trees, the grass, the everything.
Love it.
Mountain, sky, every day when I jump in my car, I'm talking. Praising and thank you for this and that and everything.
Whew.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Wow. Yeah. And life can be so wonderful. So no matter who comes around, you know how to speak to them or just be quiet and listen and nod, and so that you can share what they're going through maybe, and don't, but you can feel all these things, yeah.
Wow.
And just to be aware all the time.
Yeah.
And always smile and talk to anybody. Anybody. Yeah. I talk all the time.
Now that you mention it, you know, you are one of the most present people that I know. Not to mention, again, your positivity, your smile. You're always smiling. Like, to me, it appears you never had a bad day. You know, I know everybody has their bad days, but you certainly know how to roll with it.
Yeah, I love being around people. Any way I can help. So, you know, I got 10 people at my house just came.
Yeah.
They're all from Kauai. They just flew in. I said, yes, come all to right. Auntie's. That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good, exciting, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Whew. But thank you for being a nice nephew for so many years. Yeah.
Of course. Thank you for all your inspiration and always, you know, showing us the way, because we look up to you. We look up to those that came before us that have been doing it longer than us and have lived a life, you know. It's kind of like, you know, we look to you for guidance, you know, and your generation, because you're still doing it.
Yeah, and loving. I just love it. And so whenever, so Hawaiian Canoe Club is actually my home.
Ah.
That's my home also, because I know all the kids. Well, they're not kids anymore. They're adults. They've got children. Some are grandchildren. But Dave Ward them, you know. Dave Ward and Mike Giblin, when they first made their canoe, one-man canoe.
Yeah, yeah.
I still have that old, heavy one-man canoe. I cannot depart from it. I have it in my storage room, hanging on the wall. I look at that, I say, I can't even carry it. Yeah,
wow.
And so I got that, yeah. And so it started from that, and so graduate slowly, got lighter and lighter and lighter. And then, of course, Kai Bartlett, he had his shop, and he made his own one-man canoes. I bought the first Pegasus from him.
Oh.
He made my Pegasus. I still have it. I couldn't get rid of it. Yeah.
That's interesting. I bought my first OC1 was a Pegasus, and it was Dane Ward's boat, previously Lauren Spaulding's boat. So that thing had plenty of mana inside already.
Yes.
And I had to depart with it. I left it. I left it with Kauhane so the kids could use it.
Oh.
And so it's still there. It's still there.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
oh, that boat gets plenty stories.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know, it's still a good canoe, you know.
Yeah, it
but
is. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and unfortunately, none of my children paddles. I tried, not even my grandchildren.
Mm.
No, but when they were little,
yeah,
they did, because I think I made them do it.
Yeah. Well, you never know. It's never too late to start again.
Ah.
Maybe they'll listen to this and go, oh, I better stop.
They rather ride motorcycle. Different ethnic group.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Oh, cute.
Yeah.
But no, thank you again for making the time to talk story with me.
Oh,
and Thank you for all the inspiration over the years and the inspiration that still comes.
Well, I am so proud of you. Believe me, very proud of you to who you've become. He's a great paddler.
Oh, thank you, auntie.
His group of guys are top-notch paddlers. And you guys do it real easy. Yeah. I mean, your show seems like you're not even paddling.
Well, trust me, the bug will hurt sometimes.
Yeah.
Are there any closing thoughts you would like to leave us with or leave our future listeners with? Or?
Oh, just love life. Love life to the fullest. Enjoy every single day, every moment of your life. Be happy. Help others to be happy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mahalo.